I'd like now to welcome Bobbi Sundberg. She's curator of textiles and costumes at the Museum of International Folk Art. And Tom Klobe, he is the exhibition coordinator for the exhibition that we're about to talk about. He's also director emeritus of the University of Hawaii Art Gallery. And we're here to talk about Writing with Thread, Traditional Textiles of Southwest Chinese Minorities, which is opening at the Museum of International Folk Art this coming Friday, the 15th of May. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So this is an exhibition, Traditional Textiles of Southwest Chinese Minorities. This is stuff that most of us don't know about.
Absolutely, or probably not. We're very, very lucky to have gotten this exhibition here in the United States. It's a collection that's housed in Taiwan, and we got permission to bring it and show it in Hawaii. Then it was shown at Madison, Wisconsin, and here in Santa Fe before it goes back to Taiwan.
Are we talking about Southwest China or the American Southwest?
No, Southwest China.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you meant Southwestern Chinese immigrants, which I thought...
No, the Southwestern part of China, the provinces of Yunnan, Sichuan, Guangxi, Guangzhou, and what else? Hunan and Hainan Island.
Right.
China's a very interesting place in that when it's made up of 56 different nationalities, the Han Chinese being the majority nationality, and the other 55 are called minority nationalities, the Miao, the Li people, Yi people. There's 55 other nationalities that make up the nation of China, or the state of China.
And there are big linguistic and cultural differences.
Very big, very large.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what are some of the characteristics of this collection? Why is it special?
Embroidery.
Right, definitely. It's some of the most incredible embroidery you'd ever see in the world. And they are the people of this region of China are especially known for that. But it's not only the embroidery, there's also incredible silver work. That is also on display.
Yeah, very, very layered, lavish, and ornate outfits that include lots of jewelry, lots of very large silver headpieces as well. Lots and lots of things to look at. Really just over the top, beautiful.
Now, when these pieces were worn, first of all, what kind of time span are we talking about? How old are these pieces?
They range mostly from the late 19th, early 20th, first half of the 20th century. A few are older than that. And a number of the, especially the silver, might be up to the 1980s. But by and large, it's, you know, late 19th, first half of the 20th century. But spectacular work that is becoming more and more rare.
Was it used? Was it, I mean, you were the curator of textiles and costumes. Were some of these pieces more like costumes than something you would use more frequently?
No. They were really, festival dress is
okay.
Much more, a more accurate term. A lot of people would, in this area, live in very pretty isolated mountain farming villages. And would, before the rice was planted, for instance, in some parts of Yunnan, they have a rice festival where people would get together from all over the region and socialize. And it would be an opportunity for young men and women to sort of meet each other and find each other. And so in that context, people would want to wear their absolute best clothing. The most elaborately embroidered so that they could sort of show off what they could do and their aesthetic and their skill and their wealth or lack of as well.
And were both the boys and the girls showing off to each other?
I would think so, yes. As is in most places, women's clothing tends to be much more elaborate than men's, but there are some men's outfits in the exhibit. And the jewelry tends to be worn more by women than by men.
Right.
How did this collection find itself here at the museum?
In 2003, I was invited to Taiwan to to the opening of an exhibition that the University of Hawaii organized of small sculptures. And while I was there, they were having another exhibition opening a couple days later, and I happened to meet the collector. He had allowed about six of his pieces to be shown in this exhibition, and when I saw them, it was mind-boggling. Just absolutely blew me away. And I just said, I met him and I said, would you like to ever show this in the United States? And he said, yes. But, you know, I sent him a letter and letters and letters and emails, and I never got any response from him. Fortunately, I had a student, a former student, who was from Taiwan. And every time she would go back to visit her parents, I'd say, try to make the connection. And finally, a year and a half later, he agreed to meet her at the airport. And they just clicked, and he says, you know, I want to show you a few pieces. And so he took her to his you know, offices and showed her a few pieces, and he said, when can you have Tom come? And so about 4 months later, we were off to Taiwan to look at it. He has over 10,000 pieces in his collection, and we have approximately 500 on view here in Santa Fe. So it constitutes only a small portion of probably one of the best collections in the world.
Hand-picked by you.
Yes, and others.
Well, I have been collecting Chinese minority dress and textiles for the museum for the last couple of years, and I was interested in putting together an exhibit of this material, but realized in the course of it that the museum itself didn't have enough in the collection to make an exhibit. And so when I saw it, that this exhibit was going to be part of a symposium that I normally go to, and that it was available to travel to one or two venues, I immediately talked to the director of the museum at the time and said, this is one that we need because we'll never be able to do something on this scale.
Right, right. And of course, exhibitions get planned years in advance.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah.
Definitely.
Are people in these areas of China where the costumes that we're going to see come from, where these pieces come from, are they still wearing things like that? Have some of these traditions, both of the textiles and the context in which they wore them, been preserved and sustained?
Somewhat. Somewhat. It really depends on where you are, and it depends on the age of the people. And it is changing very, very rapidly. Just as we speak, it's changing.
Because of the Chinese economic situation and the boom. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these so-called boom.
These, and plus, these areas have been geographically really, really isolated until recently. They're doing a lot of road building in China right now. Cell phone coverage is all over China. People are much more entering into the modern world on an individual level than they have been, even just in the past 20 or 30 years. This area was parts of, like I think Guizhou, for instance, was only open to tourism since the late 1980s. And other parts of southwest China were open to tourism a little bit earlier than that, like in 1982, I think. I'm not positive on these years, but mm-hmm. So it's all changed. So that has an effect on how quickly things are changing right now.
Usually when we do an interview, I go to the exhibition beforehand. This was kind of a last-minute thing, so I haven't seen it yet. I'm so looking forward to it. When you actually choose among these thousands of pieces for an exhibition, I mean, it must be very difficult. Do you have criteria?
Yes, of course. Quality is always, and rareness is always among those two major criteria.
Rareness is something that the viewer may or may not be able to detect.
Pardon?
Rareness is something that I, walking through show, might or might not be able to detect. Quality is another thing.
Mm-hmm. It becomes very obvious when you start, I mean, when you review the whole collection. Also, you know, we had the collector, you know, he kind of said, well, these are some of what he feels are his finest pieces.
Right.
We also chose things that have good stories with them, you know, that have good background information, you know, so that, you know, there's these kinds of, there were various criteria, but we tried to select, you know, some of the very finest pieces.
And there will be a lecture at 6 o'clock on Friday, this coming Friday, the 15th of May, at the Museum of International Folk Art. And then the opening is from 5 to 7:30. It's free on Fridays. Tell us about the lecture.
The lecture is by Angela Sheng. And she has she's the curator of the exhibit. And she will be speaking on... Well, the title of her lecture is Of Horns and Feathers. And it is about the way that motifs are travel between the Han Chinese and the minority people and different minority nationalities. And she's on the faculty at McMaster University in Toronto. Should be very interesting. Able to kind of give the viewer, whoever... When she will be talking about things that aren't obvious in the exhibit, but the things that people will be able to see once they hear her and go and see
that's,
the exhibit.
That's what's so great about lectures like this, right. Is that it really cultivates the eye of the viewer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bobby Sumberg is curator of textiles and costumes at the Museum of International Folk Art. Tom Klobe is the exhibition coordinator for Writing with Thread, Traditional Textiles of Southwest Chinese Minorities. And once again, it's the Museum of International Folk Art right here in Santa Fe. Thank you so much for being with us here on the Radio Cafe.
Can I emphasize one thing? This exhibit is only open from May 15th through August 16th.
That's right. And that's a short one for the museum.
Yes, it's a very short run, and it is the last venue and the only time you'll be able to see this here in Santa Fe before it returns to Taiwan. So
excellent.
You should not wait, but come once, come many times, come as often as possible.
Excellent. And tell other people.
And tell other people.
All right, thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Okay, thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned to KSFR.